now for Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. All the topics and issues that matter to you and your family. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Joining me in studio today is Mayor of the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. We had a great meeting last night.
And before your meeting, you were busy during the day as it was Human Rights Day over at Shell Place. And you said off air you had a chance to speak to some youth about Human Rights Day.
There was a great conference at Shell Place. There were about, I'd say, 15 youth who were there, young people from one of the local schools. And we talked about the importance of human rights. I talked about Martin Luther King, how he's always been one of my heroes. And I think it was a really important day. And there were a lot of guest speakers. And I think the young people took a lot of great messages away from the day.
Mm-hmm. We actually had one of the organizers of that day on the show last week talking about the importance and what they hoped people from the event took away from it. So yeah, it was a really great day there. But
it was a great event.
So heading into your council meeting, that's when you proclaimed Human Rights Day, correct?
That's correct. We also did it we reminded everybody that mm-hmm. we did it during that day.
So one important question before we get into the real matters that happened at the meeting. I saw online on our Twitter that your council colleagues were dressed in sweaters, Christmas sweaters, and you weren't. What happened?
Councillor Balson had a great team building idea, which was for everybody to wear ugly Christmas sweaters to the final council meeting of 2017. And Councillor Balson had a great sweater on, as did all my colleagues, except for one. Councillor Mike Allen showed up without a sweater. So I had a great sweater on, but I sacrificed my sweater and gave it to Mike Allen so that he had one. And I wore a Christmas hat for the first few minutes of the council meeting. But being unused to having anything on my head, including hair, I immediately took it off because I was sweating like a pig. So anyway, my colleagues had a great time with it, though. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of fun. We took pictures with some of our former colleagues, and there was a lot of fun last night.
Yes, it was very festive in the council chambers. Also, lots got done. Quick meeting, but very productive. So kicking things off, I'd say one of the biggest things that did come out of the meeting was passing an interim operating budget of $100 million for the first quarter of 2018. So just for those who may just be hearing this now or don't know what this means, what does this mean for operations at the municipality?
Yes, what it does is it lets us continue the operations of the municipality. It pays staff and keeps all the ongoing things that we have running, continuing. And in in the new year, we're going to be holding meetings and discussions, and there's going to be an opportunity for public feedback. We'll be passing our final budget early in the new year.
Lots to go through with this budget when it comes to the looming Bill 8, Bill 21. So what are some approaches council takes to factor in some of these foreseeable changes?
The final budget that we end up going through is going to consist of a lot of information. So there's going to be an opportunity to put that out to the public. There's going to be an opportunity for public feedback, both online and in person. So there's going to be a real opportunity for people to engage with this. We are entering a new age in this region. We still have Bill 8 and Bill 21 in the background. We have, a new fiscal reality with the experience we're having with low oil and, the situation in this region. So it's a new challenge. I'm optimistic. I'm eternally optimistic about this region. I feel our best days are ahead, but we are going through some challenges and we're going to meet those challenges.
And how are some ways you can meet those challenges? Control spending, cut some areas, or what does that look like?
Yeah, those who were kind of at the last council meeting, not the one we had last night, but the one before that, saw that we had a $31 million surplus from, the good efforts that were done previously. So we're going to have to continue doing those good efforts. We're going to have to keep on making sure that what we spend makes sense. And we've got a council that is looking at things very carefully, and I think that's been reflected in a lot of the discussions I've had with them. They want to make sure that we're using, taxpayers' money wisely.
And I think a big difference from the budget last year when our CAO, Annette Antoniak, came on, she started the budget with a zero-based budgeting.
Basically, essentially means that you start assuming that you need nothing, and you have to justify why you need a dollar. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. And it's worked out well. That's, I think, in part why we had the $31 million surplus last year. So, we have a very dedicated staff. I've been going around talking to them. But we need to make sure the operations continue. We need to make sure that we're fiscally responsible. So there's a lot of challenges going on right now, but I'm feeling optimistic, and so are my council colleagues.
And like you said, the public will have plenty of opportunity to have some input on this budget.
That's right. There's going to be a lot of communications around the budget. So when that day comes, and it should be in early February, I believe, late January, that you're going to start hearing more about that. We're going to be talking about our website. We're going to be talking about the opportunity to show up in person and give direct feedback about what people think about the budget and what people think about should go in the budget.
So right now, yeah, tentatively, it's scheduled for council approval and review February 15th or 13th, rather, at that meeting. So also at the council meeting last night, talked about the approval of 54 properties with tax arrears totaling just over $387,000, kind of all over the municipality, most in Fort McMurray. And we did speak about this off air, but there's also a separate motion where nearly $500,000 in tax arrears written off. So why was that nearly $500,000 written off?
Yep. Sometimes there's arrears written off because it's corporations that go bankrupt. That's just one example. But sometimes we think that the money is essentially uncollectible. So for accounting purposes, we need to bring it before council, write it off. But we still continue the collection efforts if we think there's any reasonable chance of getting the money. But there's occasionally times, as in any line of work or business, that you encounter a debt that you don't think is realistically going to be collectible.
Right. And then also, just lastly, we want to finish up the budget and fund money talk that happened at council last night. You're told that six projects will increase the capital budget by $4.4 million. This actually isn't new. It happened in September when it was first announced. Why is there this increase?
Sometimes there's changes to projects as they go along. Sometimes there's, for example, there's a project in Fort Chippewa. The scope changed slightly. So there's various changes as we go along, and we have to adjust to those changes to make sure that we have the money that's necessary to complete them.
When you hear $4.4 million, does that have a big impact overall to your overall budget?
Well, I look at every dollar as having an impact these days. So, you know, whether it's $1 or $4.4 million, it's important that we make sure that it's being spent wisely. That's the main thing. It's important that we, you know, we don't overspend. We need to make sure that we're acting within our budget. But as long as we are spending wisely, that's, I think, the most important thing from my perspective.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation with Mayor Scott when we return after these commercials. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you're listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is Mayor of the RMWB, Don Scott. Last night, council held their final meeting of 2017. Before the break, we were talking about how they passed an interim operating budget of $100 million for the first quarter of 2018. Then that full budget approval is expected right now to come to council February 13th for final approval. Also at the meeting last night, to kick things off, recognize the work that our former council has done with outgoing Mayor Melissa Blake, Councillor Sheldon Germain, and Councillor Colleen Tatum. And you're saying it was quite emotional for some.
It was. It was a real opportunity to say thank you on behalf of the region and on behalf of the new council for all the hard work that they've done over the years. I said last night that public service often represents a sacrifice, not only personally, but to their families. So we were very happy and pleased to have three of the former councillors present. Sorry, three, including the former mayor, Melissa Blake. Mm-hmm. And it was a real opportunity. We gave them each a small gift and gave them an opportunity to say a few words.
Do you ever engage with any of them and maybe seek advice?
You know, I was talking to all of them last night, and I said I haven't seen them since the election, except I think I saw Mayor Blake in passing one time. So it's very rare that I actually encounter them. So I think that they are probably happy
to just stay away from the limelight a bit.
they all seemed to indicate last night that they didn't think they'd be back in council chambers. So although it's nice to see them in the community, I think that they needed just a bit of a break. But I just have a sense that that they'll continue their public service. And Councillor Germain, last night we appointed him to the Airport Authority Board. So he's continuing his public service, mm-hmm. just in a different way.
And also recognized for the work that they do is the Director of Public Works and Transit Services, named Alberta's Public Work Association Manager of the Year. So quite a recognition there.
That was Robert Billard, who is one of our municipal employees, who's right at the forefront of a lot of things that this municipality accomplishes, received great recognition last night, and we were able to take a break after the presentation of the award. We all went out and took a picture with him. It was it's a moment of great pride, not only for him but for this municipality and for all of my council colleagues as well.
So finally, just one last thing I wanted to touch on when it does come to council is the council approved eliminating all standing committees with the exception of the rural committee, as Councillor Jane Stroud brought back a motion to keep it for now. But like you said, it will be eliminated eventually. So why eliminate these committees?
Yeah, the thought about eliminating committees is sometimes councils create committees so that they can deal with or hear information, and then that information is just relayed to the entire council as a whole. So what we thought made sense is, instead of having all the information go to a committee, just bring all the information to the entire council. But Councillor Stroud made a good point last night, and that was that some of the rural areas are very far away. They're not all going to drive in to speak to the entire council because the distance is pretty great. So what she indicated was her preference, and she brought a motion to that effect, was to retain the rural committee. And I believe that that will actually, the motion that she brought last night was to continue it on, so there won't be any date when that comes to an end, and the reason is to make sure that the rural folks have access and can give their input to council through that committee.
So for those who might not know, generally a big chunk of the time these committees meet the same day as council, a few hours prior, so that will no longer happen with the elimination of this.
That's right. And if people have information they want to bring to council, we're going to encourage them to bring it before the entire council. And the thought there is we want everybody on council to hear the same information, not to have it filtered through committees, the exception being the rural committee, mm-hmm. because some of the people can't make it in to talk to the entire council.
I know a discussion in the past when previous council was deciding if they should have weekly meetings or bi-weekly meetings, what's the length of the meeting itself. So now with eliminating these committees, do you fear that these meetings may go too long and councillors or just people just kind of start tuning in and out?
Yeah, it's always possible that meetings will go longer because we're hearing more information, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's important in my view to have council hear everything that they have the opportunity to. We're also going to be doing, a lot of work in the new year to make sure that we're getting feedback from residents, including town halls. So that's going to be an important avenue for residents to tell us how they're feeling about things and what they think needs to be looked at and what they think needs to be done.
Is there anything you want to say or mention about last night's council meeting before we go to break?
It was a good meeting. At the end, we got to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, which was fantastic.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we will do a quick year in review with Mayor Scott and talk about what is upcoming in 2018. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and this is for McMurray Matters. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this.
Army.
Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Once again, joining me in studio today is Mayor of the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. So your year ended a lot different than it started. In March, you announced your bid to become mayor. When you ended 2016, did you think at that point that you would run for mayor of the RMWB?
No, it was quite the opposite. I was pretty determined that I'd already done my public service, and I was happy with what I'd done in the past. And early in 2017, I was encouraged quite a bit, and people were telling me that I should be thinking about it. So that's really what started me thinking about it. But prior to that, I was pretty happy doing what I was doing. I was, I had a law firm that was going in town and just wanted to make sure that was as successful as possible.
Since you started campaigning until this point, has your thoughts changed on any of the issues?
Yeah, you're always getting new input on things. I've had a lot of discussions with industry since I've been elected. So there's a lot of things that are happening, and we're gonna. I'm hoping to have a good relationship with industry. It's one of the things that I think people are concerned about in this region. There's a lot of obviously fly-in and fly-out happening in the region. So I've been talking to industry. I've met with some of the leadership of Syncrude, Suncor, and OSCA, the Oil Sands Community Alliance. You know, I'm trying to balance two things. I'm trying to balance the need to have more people live in this region and the desire by many of my colleagues to have a good relationship with the industry. So, you know, there's work to be done there.
And as you get new information and are in this role longer and longer, are you surprised by some of the information you have received, or are you like, oh, okay, no, this is operating fine, we can continue as is?
I'm never satisfied with the way things are. When I talk to people who are rebuilding, you know, if people ask me if I'm satisfied with how the rebuild's going, and I always say no. Until people are, you know, almost done, I'm still going to be concerned, and I'm still going to be making calls and still trying to push things. When I hear about our fiscal situation, you know, I'm going to be concerned about, you know, the price of oil. When I hear about our pipelines in Alberta, I'm going to be concerned about reaching out to my colleagues across Alberta and making sure that they understand the importance of pipelines. When I hear about things like Willow Square and getting our continuing care center built, I'm going to be lobbying government down south. So it's a situation where you're never fully satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sign of a good mayor and a good council, that they want to keep pushing for things, keep moving the ball forward, and keep making sure that this region gets even stronger.
It was a really big year for our community, marking the 1 year since the wildfire, and then one of the biggest rebuild seasons here over the summer. So how are you going to continue to support these people who are still not back in their homes? Because like you said, and we do know that there are many who are still having issues, whether it be just getting permits with construction companies or with their insurance. So how are you actually going to continue helping these people?
Yeah, I spoke with the Insurance Bureau about a week ago, and I told them that they needed to do a better job getting the word out to the people who still had insurance issues, that they have avenues and they have a route to to talk to somebody about these issues. I've also encouraged people to talk to lawyers. I mean, I'm obviously a lawyer by background, so I know that area pretty well. I want people to get access to the advice that they should be getting. On the municipal side of things, we have already talked to our head of planning and development, and we've talked about removing barriers that are there. So I think they're doing a better job. There's still problems, no doubt. You know, every month I hear about a different issue that we need to look at and make sure that we're resolving, but things are getting better.
What do you think moving ahead next year will be some of the biggest challenges for Mayor and Council and our municipality?
The thing that concerns me deeply is falling house prices and people leaving this community. I want people moving here. I want people living here, and I want to make sure that, you know, we have the kind of community where people just naturally think this is a place that they should be living. That's how I feel about it. And part of that is going to be having a great downtown. So I think making sure that this is a community that people naturally run to work and want to live here, and working with industry to make sure that they're putting as many people in this community as possible, hiring, you know, contractors that have a preference for local employees, those kind of things. There's a lot of challenges in the community, but I'm feeling optimistic.
If we're having this conversation sitting here a year from now, what do you hope is different?
I hope that we've had our discussions with industry have moved to a point where there is some sort of a greater commitment to putting employees in the region, making sure that they use contractors who, you know, have a local employee base. I want to see our downtown revitalization started, at least the plans well moved forward, so that we can really move this community forward. We've got an economic development committee that we've started. That's going to be a really important thing. I want to see that work is moving forward so that we're actually attracting the types of businesses and services that every other community has.
When it comes to downtown, revitalizing the downtown, what do you want to see there? We know that the Willow Square is slated to start construction in spring 2018, but what other plans are there?
The properties that were expropriated, so there's basically, there are a lot of empty parking lots right now. There needs to be a much better use of that space. So I expect that there's going to be options coming forward. We've told our administration that that's one of our top priorities, is making a downtown great and our waterfront great. So we haven't received any options for plans yet, but I think we've inspired administration to say, look, let's get this done. And this is something this council is determined to do during this term.
And some of the key projects, of course, we've just spoke about the Willow Square, but what are some other key projects you would like to see move forward and make big steps next year?
One of the things we've been fighting for is the aging in place facility that's going to be on Willow Square as well. So we're trying to make progress on that. We've also started lobbying the government about the something called the East Clearwater Highway. So we're trying to make sure that we have an alternative route and an alternative emergency exit, and that a route that actually serves industry as well. So we've started that discussion. Now, that's a long-term project. That's going to be years in the making.
But yeah, we know $5 million got put down by the province, and then $5 million from the RMWB this year. So $10 million so far has been committed towards it.
Yes, yeah, so we met with the Minister of Transportation about 2 weeks ago, made sure that was at the front and center of his radar as to one of the local issues that we want him to look at. So we're feeling optimistic that those things are moving forward. Now, that nothing is going to be changed overnight. I was having a discussion with a resident last night, and he told me that he was happy with what he was seeing, but he knows things aren't going to change overnight, and he's correct. You know, these things are long-term goals. Some of them we can get done quickly. Some are going to be slower. And, you know, things like highways take time. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling optimistic in the long term that this region is going to get stronger and stronger.
And just continuing those connections with the province to help, as long as we don't see these stalls with projects that we have been seeing when it comes to, I mean, Willow Square has been in talks for years and years, so.
That's one I'm feeling very optimistic about. We have had two very good meetings with Minister Jansen. She's the new Minister of Infrastructure down in Edmonton, and she and I had a very frank discussion. I told her the importance of getting that done for the region, and she understood that very well. And it's not just me lobbying for these things, it's my council colleagues as well. I can't emphasize that enough. Each of my council colleagues spent time when we were in Edmonton and Calgary and had the opportunity to lobby with ministers that they were doing more arm twisting than I was. So it's great to have a unified council that really wants to get things done for the region.
Many people in this community have different thoughts on council and what they would like to see for the region. So if they want to express or share these thoughts with council outside of the chambers, how do they do that?
People can email us. You can email all your councilors, you can email me, and I'll certainly share it with my council colleagues. We're going to be holding town halls in the new year. I think that's going to be an important forum. That's going to be a real opportunity for people to, and that's how we're going to get a sense of the state of the region as well from the discussions we have with people. If you see a councilor out somewhere, be sure to twist their arm and talk to them about things, because unless we're hearing about some of the challenges, we're not going to know what residents in their views need to be fixed or addressed.
Anything you want to add on this?
No, I would just emphasize that I'm feeling optimistic about the region. I know there's challenges, and I know there's people that are struggling out there and people that are concerned about house prices and other things, but your council is very committed to making sure that we improve this region.
And that is our show for today. We will be back again tomorrow from noon to 12:30 right here on Mix 103.7. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you've been listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
This has been another edition of Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm, Culligan Water, and by Fort McMurray Orthodontics. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic or have an idea for a future show, please contact the news department by emailing mixnews@mix1037fm.com.